Well, Mike, I believe you chose the music just exactly what we needed to get our hearts in tune and in touch with as we just think about the study that is before us, even though it's so much, the music was so driven to the cross, and though our study today is not specifically on the cross, it's on what the cross does for us. It's what the cross does in our life. And I've entitled this study, if you'll turn in a Bible, if you've got one close by, to Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to always encourage you to bring a Bible if you have one. We've got some in the foyer, right in the little foyer right there, if you want to just get up and get one. But in Nehemiah we're looking at building a work with God. And I want us to make some decisions today. Seriously, I want you and me today to make some decisions about our lives. You know, a lot of times preachers pontificate and they go on and on about the ails of the world and the wiles of the devil and all this kind of stuff. And they sort of just give you a little portrait of life and culture and society and what's good about it, what's bad about it. And then we sort of get up and we leave. We don't really make any decisions. And I've been with you long enough, and I guess some of you are beginning to sort of figure me out a little bit. I don't know how much, but that I'm getting in my life, I'm coming to a point in the age of my life that I'm really finding out that as people used to come up to me and they would shake my hand at the door of a church and they would say, "That was a wonderful sermon, preacher." My first reaction wants to be, "What are you going to do with it?" Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck when I say that. But I mean, really, if it was so wonderful, then what are you going to do with it? How are you going to apply it? How are you going to live it out? I mean, I'm looking behind you and in front of me, and I'm seeing hundreds of cars move. I was driving back from a meeting this week, and I passed thousands upon thousands of cars. I went to the Atlanta airport to pick up a chapel speaker for us this past week, and I saw hundreds of thousands of people, all sizes and shapes and colors and, you know, cultures, and I'm wondering about, where are these people going? What are they doing? And though I could not stop each one of them as they made their way down a corridor or on the interstate, or as I see these on motorcycles and see folks buying apples and picking apples and all those kind of things, I may not have the time. Maybe I don't need to be at this particular moment for the next few minutes so concerned about motorcycles riding, people picking apples, people getting on airplanes or driving down the interstate, as much as I need to be concerned about me right here, right now. Make some decisions about my life. And I think Nehemiah chapter 6, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6, you're going to see about three things about Nehemiah chapter 6. Matter of fact, I call this the best chapter in Nehemiah. Now, why would I say that? Well, because it reveals Satan at his best. Now, I know that's not, well, I'd care less about, no, we need to be aware of our enemy. And you're going to see Satan at his best. It also reveals and shows the believer at his or her best. And predominantly and primarily through the life of Nehemiah. But it's also, and most, the ultimate, is that it shows God at his best. And that's what this is all about. And Mike, that's the reason this music has been so focus on the cross and of Christ and the authority of God and His Word. And so it's a really exciting study that we're going to look at today for just a few moments about greater things are yet to come. Now, they can be in your life. I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm not saying it pridefully. We've been watching a lot of this presidential campaigning stuff going on, and specifically, you have been seeing, perhaps if you've been viewing or wanting to view, you've seen a couple of the debates so far on one side of the political spectrum. And there's a particular candidate there that just, you know, carries a mirror in his back pocket. He is really, really excited about being in the race and really glad that you're watching him and listening to him and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about greater things are yet to come in a prideful, arrogant, boastful, pugnacious type of way. No, but let me tell you something. Jesus himself said that you will do, you shall do greater things. And you can be. Paul said that I have, that everything about me, all that I have, I give to Christ, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm tired of us being weak, anemic, good for nothing Christians. My stars, what did you just sing? If you sang quietly, silently, or out loud, what did you just see? You saw victory, folks, victory. And I mean, it's all ours. But what do we do? Well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, walk along the pathway on this, pray a little. You know, I don't have much to offer. You've got everything to give, and greater things are yet to come. And you're going to see some of that. So if you got Nehemiah chapter 6, I just want us to sort of make some decisions about four different things, primarily four different things, all right? But before I do that, I want to show you really kind of what we're talking about. I want to show you a visual, okay? I want you to see something. And be very careful what you see, okay? Okay, let's look at the first. What do you see? Well, you can participate in this if you'd like. What do you see? A building. Okay? Good. Now, what do you see? What's the big picture here? Another building. Right? I mean, you saw, first, a building. Secondly, you see a building. Third, what do you see? What? That's whoever said it's still a building. I'm not trying to say that this has been a test. But you're still seeing a building. Now, what's the difference in all three views? It's just coming closer and closer, but what do you still got? You still got a building. You still got the construction of something that's been going on. And the interesting thing is that now this close-up shot, what you're seeing is that you can see that it's what? One brick at a time. You see the individual putting the one brick on? That brick may be you. In this great, big, wonderful, greater things are yet to come, building, if you please, or work that God is doing. So don't sit there, please. And I'm saying this compassionately and kindly. Don't sit there and say, I have nothing to offer. I am a nobody. God could never use me. I don't even know why I'm here. No, you have a divinely designed character that God wants to put on His wheel, and He wants to mold and shape and make it a vessel so that He can get glory out of you, and that building can continue to rise to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter 6 kind of gives us a little bit of the indication, because now we're finished with that old broken down wall that we started with in Nehemiah chapter 1. So let me give you some principles to wrap your thoughts around. In these first few verses of Nehemiah chapter 6, the first thing I want to share with you is that as you and I build this great work with God, notice that? As you and I build this great work with God, we must realize there's going to be some barriers. Watch this. In Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, now when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and to the rest of our, what? Enemies. So we know that we're out of our comfort zones. And now we're right there face to face with our enemies. That I had rebuilt the wall, and that no breach remained in it, although that it was the time that I had not set up the doors and the gates, then Sanballat and Geshem sent messages to me, saying, now listen to this message, come, let us meet together at Chephren, in the plains of Ono. And they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop? While I leave it to come down to you. And they sent messages to me four times in the same manner, and I answered them in the same way. Look down at verse 7. You have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you. A king is in Judah. And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So come now. Come on. Let us take counsel together. The point that we're trying to make in this is that as you and I are, and I want to go one step into this to make this really personal, as you find yourself committed to see the greater work happening in you, Okay, let's personalize this. We can talk about, you know, the world. I don't know how you have been amazed. I know there are all kinds of opinions about what we've been seeing on the telecast as Pope Francis is coming to the... But what amazes me is how the world... Everything's dropped. I mean, we dropped everything. It doesn't matter what the terrorists are doing. It doesn't matter how the hungry are not being fed. It doesn't matter if the abortion clinics are still going. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the Pope is here. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to be realistic. How our attention gets so focused on something, and the world takes such heart to matters, and so therefore here is Nehemiah, and there's a greater work happening, there's a greater work that's going on, and so there can be some barriers. Now, you know what I found out the primary barrier in my life is? Now, this may not be yours, but you know what I found out the primary barrier in my life to see the greater work in my life come to pass and come to fruition and continue to grow and continue to get stronger and continue to be more faithful and continue to be more consistent. You know what the number one barrier in my life is? People. I'd like to think it was television, then I could turn it off. I'd like to think that it was traveling, I could turn it off. Money, I could turn it off. There's all kinds of things, but you know what the major barrier in my life is? People. Can I show you something? Put your finger there in Nehemiah chapter 6. Turn to John, way up into the New Testament. John chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus says about people. We're talking about how that there can be barriers in this greater work that can happen and should happen and must happen in our lives. But what happens? There's barriers in our lives. The greater work that needs to happen in me, the greater work that needs to happen in you, sometimes comes face to face with a barrier. That's what Nehemiah was facing. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the other enemies, yeah, they were standing in opposition to him. Listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 15, look if you will at verse 18 and 19. John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Surprise! Why do we get so down and discouraged and disappointed and disconnected and disenfranchised and dysfunctional when people are against us? We ought to be rejoicing in that because we must be doing something right if we're living for Christ and letting Him live through us. But sometimes those are the barriers that come into our life. So people can be really difficult. Samuel Goldwyn of the Samuel Goldwyn movie industry and empire once said, 90% of the art of living consists of getting along with people you cannot understand. 90% of the... So, help us, dear God, help us to be a people who realize that as you continue to work that greater work in me, there's going to be some barriers. I've got to try to deal with those barriers. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Did you know that people, if you and I are going to agree with the fact that people can sometimes be the great barriers in our lives, did you know that sometimes people will distract you? Look at verse 3. What does the Bible say? So I sent messengers to them, and I said, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? You're just trying to distract me. You're trying to get my mind off of what is important. You want me to take the main thing and not let it remain the main thing. People will distract you. Secondly, look if you will at verse 4. People will also derail, or try to derail you. In verse 4 it says, they sent messages to me 4 times in the same... They just wouldn't give up. They just wouldn't stop. They like nibbling at their heels. The little minnows in your life, in my life. You know, they just keep nibbling at you. Nibbling at you. Just trying desperately, get out of my life. Why don't you stop it? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to derail you. distract you, derail you. Look at verse 7 and 8 of Nehemiah chapter 6. People will also try to discredit you. In verse 5 through 7, it simply says that Sanballat sent messages to me in the same manner, and the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, the Geshem says that you and the Jews are planning to rebel." Now, listen to this letter. This is very important because I'm going to share with you two very important things about this. You are planning to rebel. Therefore, you are rebuilding the wall and you are to be their king. Are you getting this now? Listen to this. You are to be their king according to these reports. You have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, a king is in Judah. And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So now come, let us take counsel together. We're gonna smooth all this out, Nehemiah, if you'll just come down and we'll just have a little chit-chat about all this thing. Now, here's the question. If you were to go back to Genesis, and I'm not going to care, this will be your homework, okay? Do some little homework on the side. You're going to have a beautiful day. Maybe just take a little time to read Genesis chapter 39. And you know what you'll hear in Genesis chapter 39? You'll be introduced to Joseph. And Joseph was this young man that was sold into slavery by his wicked brothers. And as a result, he gets down there and all this stuff begins to happen in Joseph's life. You remember all that stuff? And how that Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him and he ran from her. And yet she said, hey, did you know what he did to me or what he tried to do to me? Wait a minute, that's not true. Time out here. That's not true. And then all the other processes of it. Let me tell you two things very important about that letter and about the life of Joseph and many others throughout the Bible and perhaps even in your life as people try to derail you and they disrespect you and they try to deceive you. Let me tell you two things. Number one, always remember this. And it's in light of these situations, many other situations in the Bible and your situations. Sometimes false things are said that are not true about us. Well, I'm seeing a lot of heads nod all of a sudden. I'm not going to call you to say, "Would you please tell us your story?" I'm not going to do that. But it's interesting, isn't it? That sometimes false things are said about you that are not true. And that's what was happening here with Nehemiah. That's what was happening with Joseph. And that's perhaps could be happening with you. And you know who's behind that? People. You know why? They can be a barrier to the greater things. The greater things that God has in store for you. And yet people are saying false things about you that are not true. But there's a second thing. Second thing people will do. You know what they'll say? The true things about you are never said about you. They'll say false things about you that are not true. But they'll not say the true things that are true about you. And that's what was happening with Joseph. That's now what's happening with Nehemiah. And ladies and gentlemen, today in this little church house on this beautiful sunlit morning in September, they may be saying that about you. People want to do that. They're the barrier, potentially the greatest barrier in your life. And it was in Nehemiah's life as well. And so therefore, in Nehemiah chapter 6, we see this first point. The fact that it is the desire of people as we build the work of God to be a barrier in our life. But turn back, look at, again at Nehemiah chapter 6. Notice verse 8 and 9. As you and I are in the process of seeing this greater work happen in us, and that's not a selfish desire. Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He desires to live the greater life, the better life. I would think that you and I trust that you and I want the greater things to happen in our lives. So this is a personal decision. So what do? I say to the barriers, and oftentimes that's people, the barriers in my life, I'm not going to allow you to take the greater things that God has in my life from me. Now, by the way, it's not only people. Some of us need to get some of the stuff out of our refrigerators. Some of us need to turn off our televisions. Some of us need to watch what we spend our money on. And, well, I've gone from preaching to meddling. So, secondly, as we build the great work of God within our lives, we must not bend to the pressure of the world. We must not allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. That's exactly what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You remember that, don't you? One of the great passages of Scripture in the Bible. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy unto God, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2, he says this, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you know what he means when he says, don't be conformed to this world? You know what that literally means? Watch this. It means you take Play-Doh and you put it in the little Play-Doh machine and you squeeze the Play-Doh clay out of the little thing and up comes the little flower or the little whatever the image is. Squeeze that Play-Doh out of that image or out of that little box or out of that little container and up comes the image. That's what that means. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And yet that's exactly what we must make a decision. We must make the decision not to bend to the pressure of the world. When I was, I think this was my first sermon, Marilyn. I think we were still dating. I got invited to preach a sermon at a youth rally. And I had just sort of surrendered my life to the Lord in this thing called the ministry that I had no idea what it was. And I didn't know where I was headed and I mean, I was scared to death, but I thought, well, I tell you what, they've asked me to come and speak or come and preach, and so I've got to do that. So young in my life, I haven't done it really much since, but young in my life, I took the sermons of other people and I sort of transposed them into my personality, and so I thought, okay, I'll preach those. I think my message went an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. Which is about the length of this message, so just get ready, all right? An hour and 20 minutes, and you know why it was? Because I preached three sermons in one sermon. But I couldn't get away from it. You know why? It was taken out of Daniel chapter 3. For there in Daniel chapter 3, you're introduced to three guys named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names that you are familiar with are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the sermons that I heard, which were three, I compiled them all to one, and here was the title of my sermon. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Talking about those three Hebrews that were thrown into the fiery furnace, you remember all that? Well, they didn't bow to the king. They didn't bend to his demands. And so when he threw them in the fire, what happened? They didn't burn. That's what the world wants to do. That's the pressure of the world. The world wants you to bow, the world wants you to bend, and the world will burn you. And how many of us could stand up right now and give testimony, oh boy, have I ever been burned. Oh boy, when I didn't compromise. Oh man, when I didn't say this, or when I didn't lockstep with the crowd and do this and stuff. Yeah, well, I've felt the fury. And maybe at home. Maybe on the job. Maybe with your special and personal friends. It's amazing when you take a stand and you're not going to bend to the pressure of the world, how many people will try to burn you, break you, make you bend, make you bow. And that's what the world wants to do. And that's exactly what the world was doing here with Nehemiah. Look at verse 8 and 9 again. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done. You are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged and the work and it will not be done. But now, oh God, strengthen my hands. That's what the world wants to do. The world wants you to bow and bend to its pressure. Make the decision today. Say, I'm not going to let the barriers hinder the greater work in my life. I'm not going to let the pressure of the world or the pressure from outside hinder that greater work in my life. Why? Because greater things are yet to come. Let me give you a third thought. So another decision you and I need to make now, okay? You need to be thinking about this. Take this to heart. If you look down at verse 10 and following, the third is as we build the great work with God, be careful. Ooh, this is going to be good. Be careful who you associate with. Be careful who you align your life with. Notice this Bible says, then I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, who was confined at home, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him, and he was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and that Nodiah, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets were trying to frighten me. Now, what's the point again? Well, you can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to align themselves, and they're trying to become false indicators of friends to them, and that they're going to associate and counsel with them in the right direction. But that was not the case. Can I give you a reference to a verse of Scripture that you need to make sure that you write down? I'm going to tell you a little story behind it. I'm going to do this very quickly. 1 Corinthians, you ought to write this down. You ought to write this down for your children and your grandchildren and your loved ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter from Paul. But let me give you this reference, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Listen to what it says. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Did you hear that? That's a little blasting cap statement. But let me tell you something. Nehemiah realized that this was bad company. And if he was going to associate with them, if he was going to align himself with them, he was going to be in trouble. You know what I found out? I found out that's the same. That's the same. Now, I'm just going to be very transparent here. I think Marilyn and I have tried to be very transparent and as we have walked with you through your spiritual journey in these past weeks. We have a son. Thank the Lord God that he has seen greater light and he is walking in a stronger and straighter pathway now. But there was a day that son of ours, as a teenager, found himself associating with bad company. You know what that did? It just about destroyed his life. Now, I bet you, if I were a betting person, that we're not alone in this room. I'm looking around at some faces, and I'm seeing some people that's sort of cocking their head, and that's our story too. And sometimes you beat yourself up, and I know we've beat ourselves up and thinking, what could we have done better? How could we have avoided this? Just remember, don't be deceived. That bad company is going to corrupt good morals. And that's exactly what Nehemiah. So make the decision right now that you're not going to associate. You're not going to align yourself. See, that was the problem with the prodigal. He had everything at father's house. And what does he do? He goes off into the far country and he associates himself with bad company. That's exactly what happened to Lot. He started associating with what? Bad company. And it cost him. There's never any good out of bad company. It's going to corrupt good morals. Nehemiah learned that lesson. We need to make the decision right now, in this day, to be making the decision not to do that. Let me just remind you that the enemy comes in three forms. He comes as a serpent. Remember this? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He comes as a serpent to deceive you. Secondly, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he comes as a lion to devour you. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he comes like an angel of light to blind you from the truth. Comes as a serpent to deceive you, a lion to devour you, and the angel of light to blind you from the truth. There's one final thing I want to share with you. And this really goes along with what Mike had selected in all the beautiful music that we have presented to the Lord. And that is, as we build the great work of God within our lives personally, remember, look at this. Remember, we must recognize the God who is worthy of our worship and of honor. In the last part of this sixth chapter, I want you to look beginning at verse 15 and 16. It says, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Watch this. When all our enemies heard it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And all God's people said, see, that's the greater work. It's not what you do for yourself through self-preservation or self-confidence or self-thought or self-improvement. No, it's what God wants to do in you. And that's the reason that this is building a work with God. This is the greater things are going to happen and going to come to us from His hand. And so you and I should be giving God the glory. He's the one worthy of all of our praise. I've asked Alan to come to the piano in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. But before you do that, just in your mind's eye, think about the great structures of the world. Think about it. As a matter of fact, why don't we just do a little classroom participation? Someone. I'll start and then you kind of, oh, is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Well, the great structures of the world. The Taj Mahal. Great structure. Iconic structures of the world. Someone else. The Eiffel Tower. The pyramids. The Great Wall of China. The Statue of Liberty. What was that, Scott? The Empire State Building. You see those great structures? Isn't it interesting that we never seem like we point to the occupants of those structures. We never talk about them and honor them and say, wow, boy, you are so cool because you live in that or you hang around that structure. We don't do that. We don't even really talk too much about those that might even visit. And then in their popularity. You know what we really point to when we look at those magnificent structures and we see them in all of their grandeur and their glory? We always think about and talk about the designer. The person behind the structure. The one that's constructed it. The one that envisioned bringing greatness into that area. He says that's exactly what God wants to do with you and me. The greater things that are yet to come are just waiting. But they're not waiting on us. Basically, they are waiting on us to make the decision to say, okay, here I am. I surrender. And there's a great, great gospel song. As a matter of fact, it's in your hymn book if you want to look at it. It's hymn number 56. It's written by a woman who couldn't see what she was writing. Some have said that for about 90 years, Fanny Crosby didn't have her eyesight. She lost it as a young child. And for about 90 years, she was blind. And so everything that she wrote and everything that she envisioned from her heart. And she began to put these words down, such as what you have here in many other hymns. But I want you to just look at what she said and what God, I trust, is saying to you and to me today. Listen to what, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For greater things. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the... Listen to this last statement. And give Him the... Why? Great things He has done. Would you bow your head for just a moment? Listen quietly as Alan plays. Maybe today you need to start the greater things journey. And you're sitting here today and in the quietness of this moment, you're thinking, you know, everything that you said is evidence in my life. People have become a barrier. Things have not gone right. I don't have any direction, and I am fearful of the future. I have no idea what's going to happen to me when I die. Let me tell you something. God today wants to start the greater thing in you. And that's because He's given us His Son, as was so beautifully portrayed in the music. He's given us His Son. He's given you His Son, so the greater things can begin. Now, you're making the decision as to what we've studied today. But you're certainly making the decision right now as to what you're going to do with your life as you sit there quietly. We're not going to pressure you. No, it's just between you and God. But perhaps you're here today and you need to make that decision. Would you? Would you begin to allow the greater things to happen right now in your life by saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I know You've come to save me from my sins. Come into my heart. I give You my life. I surrender my all to You. I take You as my Savior. I take You as my Lord. Start the greater things in my life today. Did you make that decision right there where you sit? Someone did. Would you be willing to just look up, catch my eye, just drop your head back down and say, David, that's the decision I just made. I've been kind of confused about my life. I've not had any direction. I don't even know where I'm going spiritually, and I don't know where I'm going once I die. But today, I realize that the greater thing is that Jesus loves me, gave His life for me, and that prayer I prayed, and I have invited Him into my heart, my life. Are you here today, my friend? Young and old alike, are you here? And you just lift up your head, catch my eye, and just drop your head back down. Say, that's the decision that I've made. I'm starting my journey, my greater things journey with Him right now. Anyone? Anyone? Would you just lift up your head, catch my eye, and just drop your head back down? I'd like to just acknowledge it. Just like to just say thank you for praying that prayer. Well, what about it, my friend? For those of you that know the Lord, you've already started that journey. How about you? You're going to embrace some of these truths. You're going to be like Nehemiah. You're not going to let the barriers hinder you, the people distract you. You're not going to align yourself with that which you know is wrong. You're going to make some decisions. I mean, you're going to make some decisions right now. Life is going to change, and I'm going to make a decision. Why? Because I'm praising the Lord for the great things He has done. Just talk to Him. He's ready to listen. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, His Son. And give Him the glory for the great things He has done. Hey, let's sing that chorus one more time together. Here we go. Ready? Praise the Lord. Stand. Would you do that, Lord? Let the people rejoice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Alan, thank you for playing and thank you for being here. Many of you are guests and we're just delighted that you've come. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, we can't stay for lunch. We know that you've announced that earlier. We can't stay for lunch. Well, let me ask you this. Is it better for you to go out and spend $12.37 somewhere feeding yourself or getting around our table absolutely free and enjoy the fellowship You're going to have to battle the traffic, battle the restaurants. Why don't you just stay and enjoy this? We've got some delicious food to eat, and it needs to be eaten. And you need to eat it, all right? So with that, we're going to start breaking things down. You can help us with that as well. May God richly bless you for being here with us today. Remember that we have a baptism service after this time, and we want you to be a part of that as well. So with that, let's just pray and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you again for the love of God that brings greater things in our lives. Thank you for the picture of Nehemiah and his faithfulness. Let us, Father, make decisions today to be faithful and follow you in these days. Bless our food to come, Father, and the afternoon that's before us as we celebrate, Father, the glorious ordinance, the beautiful picture of baptism. And may you, Father, be glorified, honored, and praised through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.